The pressure on data centers has never been greater. Whether you're expanding capacity, supporting AI workloads, or building new facilities, Graybar works alongside you with the solutions, specialists, and logistics expertise you need today. We help you power performance every step of the way, so your operation is ready now. Yep, Graybar does that.
Jovan, boo-ha! Boo-ha!
Yo, yo! I'm Jovan Buha, NBA reporter and analyst for Buha's Block, and welcome to another episode. On today's show, I'm thrilled to be joined by Tony Jones, Sixers writer and reporter for The Athletic, has also covered the Jazz extensively. Could not think of anyone better to bring on to break down the games of Walker Kessler, Quentin Grimes, and Colin Sexton. 3-for-1 special with Tony Jones. Tony, my man, how you doing?
Good, man. I'm good. We're back together, man. It's been a minute.
We are. It's been a minute. But I appreciate you carving out some time with your busy schedule, busy offseason for the Sixers in particular. But I want to go back to your Utah roots and start with Walker Kessler, the headliner of the Lakers offseason. The Lakers clearly invested a ton in Walker Kessler. They signed and traded for him. They send out 2 first-round picks and 2 pick swaps. They also signed Walker Kessler to a 4-year, $130 million deal with a player option in year 4. That is the most draft capital sent out in a sign-in trade in NBA history, and that is the largest contract given to a non-All-Star center in NBA history. And of course, the cap is rising, contracts are rising, so that's a part of this. But my question to you to start off our Kessler conversation is, is this guy who the Lakers think he is? Is this the guy worth investing in, betting on to this degree?
I would say yes. I've been, you know, extremely high on Walker for a while. I think that he has a chance to be a Rudy Gobert level defender, which is, you know, essentially a one-man top 10 defense. And that's exactly what Luka Doncic and Austin Reeves really, really need. They need somebody who, you know, defends the paint, really just like really shuts down the paint. And then on the other end, you know, as a real rim runner, you know, that really draws gravity rolling down the lane and you know, really helps Doncic and Reeves on the pick and roll. You know, I think the irony of you know, him, like you're saying, being, you know, the highest paid non-All-Star center is, I think that at some point in this contract, he's going to make an All-Star team. You know, I don't think that he's a year-in, year-out All-Star. But, you know, he's one of those guys that, you know, when you look at you look at his career, you know, he has a chance to be like a 3-time All-Star, 5-6-time, you know, all defense, you know, maybe one defensive player of the year. It's probably going to be hard now because Victor Wembanyama's in the same league. But, you know, he's a special defender. And I don't think, you know, I think the people in Utah realize it. but it was hard. It's hard to quantify outside of Utah just because of the state of where the Jazz have been, you know, the last 4 or 5 years. But he is a special defender. He's one of the only guys in the league that blocks shots at the same level with both hands. He's a great rebounder, particularly a great offensive rebounder. People don't think that he's really athletic because, you know, he doesn't jump to the moon, but he runs the floor probably as well as any center in the league, not named Victor Wembanyama. I mean, he really runs the floor really well. And, you know, he's big. He's a big guy. He, you know, he's all of 7'1". You know, he's all of 250, 260 pounds. And, you know, and he knows how to leverage that physical size on both ends of the floor.
You mentioned people outside of Utah maybe not understanding how special he is as a defender, as a rebounder, etc. Were you surprised by the backlash a bit in terms of there was a lot of people who've been against this move and people have criticized the Lakers offseason because of this move in particular? Like talking to people in Vegas, just some people don't have the same confidence in Kessler scaling into a certain role. Have you been surprised by some of that reaction?
I think I see both sides of the argument. Like, I think, you know, on one side of the argument, like, this is a move that is generally, you know, reserved for a guy who's already a star. And, you know, Walker Kessler's not already a star. From Walker Kessler's position, the Jazz, you know, asked him to scale back noticeably, you know, particularly the last few years because, you know, they couldn't get what they wanted to get done with him on the floor. You know, the thing that I would say the most about Walker Kessler is whether he scores 0 points or whether he, you know, has an 18-point double-double or, you know, whether he has 0 rebounds or whether he has 25 rebounds, he affects winning. Him being out there affects a team's ability to win. And I think most of all, that's what the Lakers are paying for. They're paying for him to, you know, cover up mistakes on the defensive end, which he can do. And he's pretty good at playing without fouling. They're paying him to set screens and roll down the lane and provide a real outlet for Austin Reeves and Luka Doncic. And Doncic plays his best when he has a rim running center. You know, when he had Derek Lively and Daniel Gafford in Dallas, you know, Luka Doncic was, you know, close to unstoppable because he had that outlet. And, you know, as good as he has been with the Lakers, he wasn't on that level, the Dallas level, because he didn't have that rim running center. He didn't have that guy that he could just throw the ball up to. And now, you know, with Walker Kessler, he does have that guy. So for me, it's similar to, it's kind of similar in a different way, ironically, to what Philly did, you know, because you could say, all right, well, Philly traded for Jaylen Brown, but they traded back Paul George, who's a really good player, and 2 first-round picks and a couple of seconds. That's, you know, still a pretty hefty sum. Well, no, Philly also traded for LeBron James as well, because they don't get LeBron James without Jaylen Brown. So, you know, when people say that this is a singular move, you know, they did all of this for Walker Kessler. Not really. They did all this for Walker Kessler and for the effectiveness of Luka Doncic, because Luka is much more effective. I wouldn't say much more effective, but he's more effective with a Walker Kessler type of center than he is with a DeAndre Ayton type of center.
I think I'm one of the highest people on Walker Kessler outside of the state of Utah. I've been a proponent of him for the last couple of years. I had no issue with the contract or the price that the Lakers paid for him. And I'm with you. I think this is a guy that next year even could average 16 points, 12.5 rebounds, 2.5 blocks, be top 5, if not top 3, in field goal percentage, rebounds, and blocks, which is a rare trifecta for a center. So I'm very high on Walker Kessler and his fit. And one of the things I'm curious to see is what he looks like playing off of Luka and Austin and having that level of playmaking, with no shade toward the Utah playmakers and passers. But like, I just think it's at a different level. And one of the things I charted earlier in the offseason was looking at all of the Lakers' potential center targets and comparing them in several categories. And one of the things that really stood out was the two leaders in rim field goal percentage were DeAndre Ayton and Jackson Hayes. And I looked more into it, And they both had career years this past year in terms of rim field goal percentage because of the looks that were created because of Luka, Austin, and of course, LeBron James. Now they don't have LeBron, but they still have Luka and Austin. And I just think the shot quality that Walker Kessler is about to get with the lobs, with the dump off passes. What do you think about the fit offensively in terms of just him now playing within a high level offense and one of the best passers in the game right now in Luka?
Well, I think the fit is absolute. And, you know, I think the one thing that, you know, Walker is going to provide that, you know, Jackson and DeAndre aren't going to provide is he's an insane level offensive rebounder. So there are going to be a lot of times where Austin and Luka drive the paint and they miss a bunny. And, you know, a lot of times those bunnies go the other way. And they're going to turn into dunks for Walker Kessler because he's such a great offensive rebounder. You know, it's a marriage on both sides, and the two sides need each other. You know, I think you're absolutely right. Walker Kessler needs a point guard, you know, really capable of running pick and roll and creating separation and being able to hit him when he's rolling down the lane and when he's open. He's played with one guy that qualifies for that, and that was Mike Conley. And that was, you know, about 34, 35 at the time. And Luka needs somebody that's going to protect the rim. And, you know, I think Walker Kessler is one of the best four or five rim protectors in basketball. You know, even with you know, the missed games and, you know, if you just look at the numbers and you look at the block percentages and, you know, the team's field goal percentages when he's at the rim, I mean, they're insane. And, you know, I can remember, you know, when covering him and covering his games, you know, I remember a couple of times where he's saved games. I remember a Oklahoma City game. Game against Oklahoma City. It was the last game, ironically, before the Lakers, I believe, made the trade for Jared Vanderbilt in, you know, that trade with the Jazz a couple of years ago. I believe it was that game. It might have been a season, but I believe it was that game. And, you know, Oklahoma City was in Utah, and Isaiah Joe on the last play of the game had completely blown past Walker Kessler, had a wide open layup, and, you know, it just looked like the game was going to be over, and Walker recovered somehow, blocked the shot, and preserved the game. And those are some of the plays that he's capable of making. And, you know, I just think that his fit with the Lakers is going to really, you know, do well for his career, because I think that he's going to be really important to the Lakers, and the Lakers are going to be, and Luka Doncic specifically, are going to be really important to him as well.
He flashed some 3-point shooting and some passing chops at the beginning of this past season, only played 5 games, but hit 6 threes in those 5 games. And also they started using him more in some elbow action, some horns actions. We saw some high-low game between him and Lauri Markkanen. How legitimate are those wrinkles to his game? Is that something you think he can continue to expand on?
Well, he and his camp think is legitimate. So, you know, that's something that he's worked on specifically over the last 2 summers. He's worked on it this summer as well. You know, definitely just trying to get the jump shot to where it needs to be. I think it's going to be how much do the Lakers let him shoot? Like, do they let him shoot? And more importantly, how much do they let him shoot through misses? So if he misses 5 or 6 in a row, you know, is JJ, you know, saying, okay, you know, keep shooting the ball, keep doing this, keep doing that, and, you know, keep encouraging him? Because I do believe if they do that and they let him shoot it with volume and they let him shoot it in high leverage situations, I do think that over time you're going to see some positive results because it is something that he is specifically, you know, working on. And, you know, I don't think that you're going to see him in horns or a lot of that because, you know, for obvious reasons. But, you know, I do think that there's a chance that the Lakers let him, you know, work and expand on his pick and pop action.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around waiting for the track to dry is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
I went back and tracked his injuries and availability, and one of the things I noticed was that over those first three seasons in Utah, at the end of the season, it was no secret, the Jazz were tanking, and in each of those seasons, he missed somewhere between the final four to final seven games of each of those seasons when he had just been healthy right, you know, before that stretch. So I averaged that out in terms of just adding those games to his season numbers, and that averages out to about 71 games per season, which to me, I mean, that's like a modern day Ironman, but based on how many games guys miss now, the Lakers only had two players play more than 71 games this past season. So in terms of his injuries and his availability, and he even alluded to this when we spoke with him in Vegas, how concerned are you with his availability and the injuries throughout the years? Because I think that's been another thing that people have knocked him for, that I think if you actually look a bit deeper beyond the surface, he's been healthier than people think, and with the exception of this shoulder surgery that he just had that kept him out for all but five games, he's actually been relatively healthy.
Well, the shoulder injury was real, and that was something that needed to be cleaned up and needed to be taken care of. I'll give you a good story on Walker. His rookie year, you know, I get a call from the Jazz, and you know, they said, "Listen, just want to let you know, just out of respect for, you know, how you cover us, that we're going to go young." This is after they made that trade with the Lakers. You know, they said, "We're going to go young with March, and we're going to take, you know, a really good look at Walker. We're going to take a really good look at Lowry and, you know, some of the other guys and, you know, kind of see what we have and see where we have to go, you know, with the obvious inference being like, yo, you know, Victor Wembanyama's out there. We need to lose some games because they won too many games that year, way too many." And, you know, we said, "Oh, okay, no problem." They played Walker like three or four games, and they realized, okay, so he's too good for us to keep losing at the rate we want to lose. So we got to sit him too. And that's what they did. They got to the point where it was like, all right, you know, we can't have this guy on the floor if we want to lose games. And, you know, so they sat and they, you know, essentially sat him towards the end. And that's one of the biggest testaments to Walker that I can give anybody. You know, he really affects winning. If you want to win games, you'll want him on the floor because he affects that. And, you know, that's a rare, it's not a rare skill in today's game, but it's a skill, you know, that no matter that if you could put a player on the floor, no matter what, you know, he affects winning. And, you know, there are guys who average almost 30 points a game in this league who don't affect winning. So, you know, it's one of those things that if I were a Lakers fan, that's what I would probably be most excited about, you know, just no matter what, you know, that's a huge upgrade at center because my center is going to affect whether we win or lose games.
Final one on Walker. What's he like as a dude? What's he like in the locker room? Because this is now someone that the Lakers have invested in as a pillar. It's Luka, Austin, and Walker moving forward. What's he going to be like for the Lakers in that regard?
Extremely good with the media. You know,
saw that in Vegas.
Yeah, just extremely good with the media. I think the media love covering him because I think that he's truthful and honest without being confrontational. I think he has that skill. You know, he's a guy who's really good with his teammates. You know, I mean, even right now, he's down in Georgia. He's working out with, you know, he's been working out and playing pickup with Colin Sexton as Isaiah Collier. And, you know, those are guys. I mean, Isaiah, he was a teammate with in Utah. He's worked out some with Ace Bailey as well. So even after he's left the Jazz, he's still working out with guys that play for the Jazz. So, you know, he's a really, you know, kind of, I don't want to say an aw shucks dude, but, you know, he's just kind of got this real calm demeanor about him. He's somebody that I really enjoy covering, and, you know, somebody that, you know, if you told me I had to cover Walker Kessler again starting tomorrow, you know, I'd be looking forward to it.
Tony, you are the man. I appreciate you. I appreciate your time. No one has the insight into the Lakers new additions quite like you. So you got a busy season ahead covering the Sixers, a lot of newsers. I've been there. A lot of newsers coming up, but appreciate you, man. It was great to see you. And outside of The Athletic and your X account, anything you want to plug before we get out of here?
Nah, man. It's just, you know, I'm on IG, T Jones at Athletic. You know, but it was great to get on here and chop it up with you, man. Thank you so much for having me.
Appreciate you, and appreciate you all for watching and listening. For those watching on YouTube, please be sure to hit that subscribe button, turn on channel notifications, and like and comment on this video. For those listening on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your podcast platform of choice, please be sure to follow, download, and leave a 5-star review. I'll be back soon. I'll talk to you then.